You're not supposed to know the correct answer. You got me. So I think that when a lot of people hear this, they would assume I was referring to the 400 years that Israel suffered in Egypt and slavery. And many of you know that that was a time of tremendous pain and suffering through which Israel had been basically taken captive. And for four centuries, they had to serve under very cruel slave masters called the Egyptians. And that was a painful time, but there is another 400-year season of spiritual brokenness and barrenness, if you will, that Israel suffered through, and our very own Derek nailed it, and that directly relates to Advent. And so tonight, we're going to look at these two seasons of what I will call as prophetic silence in Israel. And you're going to discover that it is usually in times of prophetic silence or spiritual barrenness that God is preparing for a miraculous intervention. And I want to pray with you and then jump in. I'm really excited for this message. I was talking to John, and I said, man, I'm pumped to preach this. I've spoken, you know, Advent so many times in my life. And as I was praying this week and preparing, I felt like God was giving me direction to go for this message. And so I'm excited. I don't know how excited you're going to get. We'll find out. But man, I am really excited about what I believe God wants to help us understand about Advent and also a message for us. That God might meet with you where you are right now. So can you pray with me? Let's open our hearts to the Lord. Let's pray and just ask God to really speak to us. So Father, we thank you for this Advent season in which we remember the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and in which we also look forward in hope to the second Advent in your return. And I pray that tonight, as we dig into the scriptures and I share what you put on my heart, I ask that you will speak to us in a powerful way. I ask that you will prepare our hearts now to receive and that you'll meet with us in a fresh and a new way tonight. God, use me as your mouthpiece and as a vessel. Lord, just guide me prophetically. All that I prepared, I just lay it before you. I ask that you will be glorified and you will lead us. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I said, Israel was no stranger to prolonged seasons of suffering. And this was embedded in the cultural psyche, the cultural mind of Israel. They all knew the stories about Egypt. Think about this. Every boy, every girl, every mom, every dad, every grandma, every grandpa, they all knew the same story. It was so strong and so formative, as strong as Advent is for you guys with the lights and the eggnog and the, I don't know where that came from, but the pepper hot chocolate, you know, the peppermint hot chocolate. I mean, all of these things that have formed who you are. Well, for Israel, their minds were shaped and their whole cultural identity was shaped with their 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And most of you understand this, as I said, and so I'm not going to go into detail about it tonight, just very briefly touch on it. But if you want to learn more about this 400 years of suffering and prophetic silence, I highly recommend that you check out the book of Exodus. Anybody like the book of Exodus? Oh, man. Genesis, one of my favorites. Exodus is phenomenal. I mean, it's all amazing. But maybe over Advent, you could read from the book of Exodus. Amazing book that will recount the story that I'm going to share with you in detail. Because I'm going to give you a one-minute little overview of Exodus, okay? So you're going to have to read it. But so many, many years before Christ came, Israel, under the leadership of Abraham and his offspring, had taken the promised land, or getting ready to take the promised land, that is. And then there was a tremendous famine, and they had to go down into Egypt. Many of you know the story. And they had favor there. But after the favor was up, new leaders were raised up in Egypt, and they began to enslave the people of Israel. And the people of Israel then became in bondage to cruel taskmasters. And for four centuries, think about that. That is significantly older than the United States of America. Just to put this in perspective, for four centuries they suffered as slaves under the Egyptians. And it was a time of tremendous prophetic silence and spiritual barrenness for an entire people, the people of God, that had received the promises that God gave to Abraham. But let me share this. If there's one thing you're going to take away from my sermon, when I put together a message, I'm always trying to think of what is one statement, one main point that I want you to get, and this is it, okay? So this is the main point. Times of spiritual barrenness are often preparation for the miraculous intervention of God. Culturally and also individually as a member of the body of Christ. What in the world does this have to do with Advent? Well, the 400 years prior to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ was another season of tremendous suffering and prophetic silence for the people of Israel. If you want to turn with me to Malachi chapter 4, I'm going to read a prophetic announcement that God gave through the prophet Malachi. Every time I read this name, it's so difficult because I almost always say Malachi. It's like I just always think of it in an Italian. It's not an Italian word, but it almost looks that way. So turn to Malachi 4, 5, 6. So Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Okay, time out. Elijah had already come, right? So Elijah had already been in Israel and he had prophesied to the people. But what God is saying is he is giving a prophetic pronouncement. This is 400 years before the coming of our Lord, his incarnation. And he's saying that I'm going to send another Elijah. He's going to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And then let's go on. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So again, Malachi is sharing this prophecy 400 years before our Lord comes. And then there is absolute and total prophetic silence in Israel for 400 years. Now again, I shared earlier with you that within the cultural mindset and mentality and the psyche of the people of Israel was this formative season when they suffered for 400 years as slaves in Israel. But also in their cultural understanding was that God raises up men and women of God called prophets, and he speaks through prophets to guide his people. And this has been from the book of Judges. Well, go back all the way to Moses, and then in the book of Judges and in the historical books. And in their cultural mentality, they understood that God raises up prophets. Think of Ezekiel, Daniel. How about some? Who are some of your favorite Old Testament prophets? Jeremiah, Micah, what a good name. Isaiah. Giovanni, oh wait, that's not it. Habakkuk. So in the mentality of the Jews was this understanding from every boy, every little boy, and every old grandma that God leads us through the prophets. He speaks to us. We're not alone. And then Malachi shares this prophecy that we just read, that there's going to be this great prophet that will come in the spirit of Elijah, and then silence. 400 years, no prophets, no spiritual word for this entire nation. Not only was there no prophet in the land, but their land was taken over. The Greeks were rising at that time, and they took over Israel. Not only did they possess the promised land and subjugate the Jews to their military power, but they went into the very temple and set up sacrifices to the pagan gods in the Holy of Holies. And they said, "Where are you, God? Where's Elijah? Where is he?" Nothing. Well, the Greeks were kicked out by the Romans. And then the Romans took over the land of Israel and the people of Israel and all of the Mediterranean. And they installed a puppet king that you've heard of, and he's very associated with Advent. You guys know the king, right? Herod. He was basically, he wasn't a true Jew in the heart. He was just doing the bidding of Caesar. He was living in debauchery and grave sin in front of the entire nation, right? Where are you, God? No prophet since Malachi. 400 years we've suffered. No prophet. Where was God in all of this? Where was the God of Malachi? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever faced a period of spiritual dryness? A time where you pray and you just think, I'm not feeling it. You know what I mean? Hey, look, can we just be real? You know, it happens to me too. You know what I mean? I'm not like Mr. Perfect Pastor. I mean, I have times of dryness. And sometimes these seasons of spiritual barrenness can be like a drought, can't they? And they can go on for months, and sometimes they can go on for years. And you just don't have any breakthrough. You kind of feel like Israel felt, right? Where are you, God? What's going on? Well, let's go back to my main point. Do you remember it? If not, you can hear it again. I'm going to tell you like five times. So Tyler's going to get this. Boom, we're going to just mind meld right here. It is often in times of spiritual barrenness that God is preparing you for a miraculous intervention. And if you don't remember this and you're not aware of this, you can actually harden your heart towards God and miss what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you prepared. Now, it's not going to take 400 years for you because you're not going to be here 400 years. But the longer the spiritual barrenness, very often there's a direct correlation to the greater their intervention, right? 400 years in Egyptian slavery, man, that was a pretty big breakthrough, right? I mean, hey, they had to wait 400 years, but when Moses came with the staff, I'm like, the water split, the frogs came out, the locusts came. I mean, that was a bad dude. You know what I'm saying? It was like the blood filled the rivers. It was like, let my people go. Do you guys know the story? Some of you. I mean, this is, okay, they waited 400 years. That stinks. But man, it was powerful. And that's what I'm trying to say to you is the longer the period, the greater the intervention. And so if you're facing a time like this or you've been in a time like this, you know, don't lose your heart. Don't lose your faith. Stay connected to Christ, even especially in the barren times, especially in the times when you look at, if you were to look at your life spiritually and it looked like, I should have put pictures up, but you ever seen like a desert? I'm sure in Arizona you've seen this where you prolonged periods of drought and the ground is so hard. It's like concrete. Have you ever been in places like that? And it actually, you can see it like little shapes will form in the dirt. Now you're staying with, I don't know if you're picturing this. It's just hard. Well, when you face these times, or when the nation of Israel faced these times, the good thing is that the drier the land, the more thirsty it becomes. So the drier the lack of prophetic word is for you, the more your soul will thirst for that water, you know? And sometimes God just allows a little dryness because we're not thirsty enough. You know what I mean? If you're drinking, what do they say? You're supposed to drink like half your body weight in ounces of water every day, right? So I drink 75 ounces of water a day. Well, I'm not really thirsty, to be honest. I'm peeing constantly. You know what I mean? Anybody try to drink 100 ounces of water a day? You know, like I'm on a fitness kick. You know, there's like, you see guys like that. They're always carrying around the bottle of water. What are you doing? I'm drinking water, man. I'm getting my quotient. You know what I mean? They got their little app. Tammy had this little app that she did. It was like every time she drinks some water, she put it in and there was like a picture of a woman and the water would go like fill her calf. And then it filled the thighs and then it went all the way up. And then woo, fireworks, you know, confetti. So when you're going through, you guys are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I know people that never drink water. I mean, I literally have family members that never drink water. If that's you here, you're in trouble. Please drink water, man. So, when you're drinking 100 ounces of water a day, you're not thirsty. I mean, if anything, you're like satiated, like, get that water out of my face. You know what I mean? Well, go 3 days without water. Try that. Well, actually, don't try that. I was like, I looked at Elliot. I'm like, what am I saying? Don't try that. That is very dangerous. I mean, I'm serious. Like, do not do that. You can fast without, you can go without food for 3 days. It's no problem, man. But don't go without water, okay? Because you can become dangerously ill, right? It's very dangerous. But you'll be thirsty, all right? And so that's just the point I'm trying to make, is that it is in the midst of these prophetically silent times that God is ready very often to break out. Now, where do I want to go with this? Well, you know, the prophet Malachi spoke of this, and Isaiah spoke of this as well. And this is the scripture that Sarah read to us, and you guys heard it. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. I think you read Isaiah, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. I should know that since I told John which scriptures to have her read, and I'm getting confused here. But every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, spoken 700 years before the coming of Christ, of this great prophet that would be raised up. And that great prophet did come, and he's the one that we're going to talk about tonight on this first Friday of Advent. And he is now called St. John the Baptist. Very important man in the story of the coming of our Lord. And so we're going to transition to Luke chapter 1. If you want to turn there with me, you can. Tyler, thank you for reading that. He read this great passage. And so I'm just going to kind of dissect it now with you and take it piece by piece to see what the Lord wants to say. But after these 400 years of silence, God speaks. And this man that will go and move in the power of Elijah has been raised up. And let's read about it. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, real quick, let's pause here. There's not many people in Scripture that God says were walking in a blamelessness, right? Think about who that would be. I mean, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. God spared him when he judged the entire world for their sin. There's a couple others like that, but it's very rare that you will find a woman or a man in Scripture that Scripture's referred to this way. This was a man and a woman that wanted to please God. They were doing the best they could, right? And then verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. Now, tonight I'm speaking to you about how God will often miraculously intervene in our lives in a time of spiritual barrenness. And I never made the connection in Advent that embedded within the story of Advent is a barren woman. And just like God miraculously shows up in the midst of times of spiritual barrenness and prophetic silence, he also shows up at many times when a woman is barren. And in this passage, we find this woman whose name is Elizabeth, and she is suffering reproductive barrenness, but not spiritual barrenness. Because even though her life seemed, you know, painful and she couldn't have a child, she was a blameless woman that was trying to serve God. She was not a woman that allowed circumstances to dictate that she would become a cruel, nasty, bitter old lady. Now, you don't know anybody like that, so we're not going to have to say names of people in your family or friends. If you know any cruel old men and women that are kind of nasty because they've let the pain of life get them down. You don't know anybody like that, right? Right. Don't say it. But that was not Elizabeth, and that was not Zacharias, okay? And they were advanced in age. They were well beyond the reproductive ability to have children. But let's look at what happens here in verse 8. And so it was that while he was serving as priest, because Zacharias was a priest in Israel, he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood. His lot fell to burn incense. What does that mean? Well, they would like roll dice, and they'd cast a lot, and they would decide who was the guy that was going to go in and do the ritualistic burning of the incense. And they just chose him. His lot was chosen. Okay, I'll go in. I'm sure he'd done this before. He goes into the temple of the Lord. Verse 10. The whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Okay, let's stop there. This is a very typical response. You'll see this in scriptures. There are many, many times when God would send his messengers to men and women. And when you read about it, it's almost always the same response. It's like fear, you know, and trembling. Kind of makes sense, right? I mean, can you imagine praying and an angel shows up? I mean, you'd probably be trembling, right? You know, you're not going to be like high-fiving. You're going to be like, oh my goodness, this is real, you know? And so this is a typical response. And we see it throughout the scriptures, throughout church history. Always the same story. Let's look at verse 13. And it's funny because the angels always have the same response. You look in Revelation, it's always saying, person sees angel, gets freaked out. Angel says, chill out, it's okay. Right? You know what I'm saying? Just read it in the scriptures. It's always the same. Here it is. Verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias. Okay, good. Okay, that's good. But listen to this. This is so powerful, what he says. Man, I mean, this just breaks my heart. In a good way. For your prayer is heard. Your prayer is heard. What prayer? You know, what do you think entered into his mind in that moment? Do you think he knew what he was talking about? I bet he did. Right? Do you have a prayer in your heart that hasn't been answered? That if an angel showed up to you and said, your prayer has been answered, would you know what it is? Listen, if an angel showed up to my wife and said, your prayer has been answered, I'd know what it is, right? You all know what it would be, right? She wouldn't even have to be like, Lord, what prayer? You know what I mean? It'd be like, are you serious? Yes. So he knew, right? Immediately he knew what the angel was referring to. And he said this. And then, okay, so the angel says, your prayer is heard. Then listen to this. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. So here we see the primary way that we must handle times of spiritual barrenness and prophetic silence. Prayer. Prayer, right? Zacharias and Elizabeth did not know how to rectify the situation. You know, in today's world, when a married couple is unable to conceive, they can try to use scientific methods a little more than obviously back then, right? They can try to do in vitro fertilization, all these techniques. But back then, you know, and so many times that doesn't work. But even today, the response should be the same, prayer. Prayer. We're going to pray. We don't know how this is going to work out, but we're going to pray. And they prayed fervently during their season of barrenness. And then verse 14, let's look at this. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. You know what that's referring to, right? Remember when Elizabeth met with Mary, the mother of our Lord, and John the Baptist filled the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth's womb. Amazing story. It's in the Gospels. Verse 16. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. See, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So let's take a break there. After 400 years of silence, this great angel appears and announces to Zacharias, the silence is over. Your breakthrough has come. But you see, what's amazing is it's not just his breakthrough. It's not just Israel's breakthrough. It's the entire world's breakthrough, right? This is not just, I mean, as great, as miraculous as it is that the woman who is barren is given a child. That is amazing. But this is not just a child. This is St. John the Baptist. This is the one that will go before Christ, our Lord, and preach and prepare the way for Jesus Christ. I mean, this is quite a day for Zacharias. He didn't expect when he went in the temple to have this. You know what I mean? I mean, this is like, wow, you can't plan this. And then, verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, he asked a question that is reminiscent of what Sarah also asked of the angel when an angel announced to Abraham that Sarah would conceive. Many of you know, remember this story. This is very similar. He looks at the angel and he says, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. So Zacharias is just kind of, I don't know, he's kind of turning into a little scientist or something. You know, he's like, this is not possible. You know, how? I mean, this is good, but how is this? And man, verse 19, it's got to be one of the best verses in the Bible. If I could only be there. I mean, I've seen some great scenes in Lord of the Rings where, like, probably this is some of my top moments. I'm hesitant to say what is my top moment of, like, a masterpiece. I mean, I have 100 top moments in Lord of the Rings. But probably my top moments are when the elves walk up to hobbits or men and they come with glory. And you can tell they're a higher order of beings. I love the scene where Frodo is dying from the poison, you know, that he's been stabbed. I can't remember the names of those creatures, but somebody knows them probably. Ringwraiths, was it? Oh, thank you, Lord. That's the Lord. So he's been stabbed. He's dying. Does anybody know this scene I'm talking about? And then the elf walks up to him, which wasn't Galadriel. It was like, oh, but it's supposed to be Galadriel. All right. And, you know, and then it's just like the glory. And it is just, you see that. I see that in a movie or I read that in a book. And I just think how powerful and moving that is to encounter a creature that's higher than me, closer to the glory of God. And the reason I'm saying that is because if you just try to picture in your mind what it was like when Zacharias questioned this angel, and then you read the response, and it's beautiful, man. It's a mic drop. I feel like dropping the mic after I read this, but I'm not going to. But look at this, verse 19. Or let's look at verse 18 again. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. The angel looked at him and said, I am Gabriel. I'm about ready to drop this thing. That's what he said. I'm Gabriel. Gabriel. This is the highest angel. This is like Michael and Gabriel, Raphael. These are high angelic beings. Like that. And then look what he says after that. I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. Any more questions? No, he didn't say that, but it's about what he was saying. And he said, I was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. So now Gabriel is like, listen, the Father sent me here to tell you good news. And I think we're not on the same page here because you're kind of questioning me. You know, I thought your response was going to be a little different. So then he says in verse 20, so behold, you're going to be mute and not able to speak until the days that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Wow. So Zacharias, he kind of he struggles with doubt, as we all do. And because of that, the angel reveals that he is now going to be mute and will not be able to speak. And this is common. This is typical for us when we're facing a hard time, right? And you're in a moment of spiritual, or a season of spiritual barrenness. Sometimes when the breakthrough comes, it almost seems too good to be true. And you need to just grab onto it and say, it's not too good to be true. God is doing this. And he's going to do it. Verse 21, the people waited for Zacharias, and they marveled that he had lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And I love this verse because it shows you what a spiritually minded people think like, right? Like if somebody went into church and came out of church today and they couldn't speak, our first thought would be a scientific explanation. Rush them to the hospital. They were like, oh man, dude saw a vision. Right? Because it's a different time. It's a different people. It's a different way of thinking that they recognize something holy just happened. And my man can't speak. And so I don't know what it was, but man, he was rocked in the church. He went in the sanctuary and he came out different. And here he is. It says verse 22, they perceived that he'd seen a vision, and he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So he's now, he's a mime. He turned into mime. He's trying to talk to him. And then verse 23, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Verse 24 is so beautiful. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And she hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. I mean, God's word will never return void. And this promise that Gabriel delivered to Zacharias, it came to pass. And his wife, who was old, not only was she infertile biologically, she was past menopause. She's not able to have children. She couldn't have children in her prime. And she just got pregnant. And they were like, oh, man, this boy, something. Gabriel, he said it, and it came to pass. Let me bring this to conclusion. So, again, main point here, we're going to have a worship band come on up if we could. I'm going to kind of close with this. Just want us to close with a song and this Advent service. And I want to just kind of return to my main point with you to make sure you don't forget it, because I've already told you three times. I'm going to tell you again. So after 400 years of prophetic silence, God sent the angel Gabriel to announce his wonderful plans. And this season of spiritual barrenness was coming to an end, and God was preparing to bring deliverance on an even grander scale than what he did in Egypt. In those former days, right, he set his people free from literal human slavery. But now he was going to set us free from a worse slavery, the bondage of sin and the grave, and Satan himself. And then through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, God set mankind free from sin. And the beautiful sign he gave to confirm this was the miraculous intervention and giving the gift of a child named St. John the Baptist to a faithful, yet barren old woman and her husband. And so I pray that this Advent, you will remember this main point, that when you're in a time of spiritual barrenness and drought, don't lose faith. It may just be that God's about to do something. He's about to break out in your life and do something that is so miraculous you will not even believe it. Let's trust him for that, can we? Amen. Let's stand together and worship God. Love you guys. Appreciate you. So good to be back. Looking forward to a great Advent season together. Father, we thank you for sending the angel Gabriel to speak to Zacharias and to visit miraculously with Elizabeth. Lord, we're excited and grateful for what you did. It'll be amazing to meet them one day, to hear the story. But until that day, we just are absolutely astounded at what you did in sending John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord. God, make us people that trust you in all circumstances, and may we help others be prepared to meet you. We thank you for this night, and we give it to you. In Christ's name, amen.